Thanks for having me, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Mark, let's start with this. I started the show, I said, I want to start with what Penn State didn't do. Didn't turn the ball over. I mean, in the end, what does, at least temporarily, solving that domino mean to success?
I think that was the overriding factor. I mean, I look at that fourth quarter, you know, after Michigan scores the touchdown, makes it 20-17, and Penn State's got pretty much a full fourth quarter. They're playing with the lead, first time all year in the fourth quarter, pretty much. At that point, doing that. I mean, they did it a little bit against Indiana, but they were holding it.
Yeah.
And they went on this drive, the 75-yard, 12-play drive, I think it was, 10-play drive, converted a couple third downs. What if there's an interception or a fumble in there? You know, what if at that point your turnover rears its head? That, to me, was the biggest moment. I thought that drive was phenomenal. It was even in the back of my mind as I was watching the game going, God, this would be the worst time for the turnover to rear its head in this game, and they didn't do it. You know, it was a great third down completion, a couple of them to Jahan Dotson, but the one I think inside, they got him inside the 10, was a phenomenal, like, route-throw combination. Everything worked and protected the ball. It didn't seem like Sean Clifford was making, erratic decisions, but forcing decisions. The third down throw at the end of the first half, I mean, he could have tried to force a play in there, and he threw it out of the end zone. They took the field goal, and I mean, they probably winced going off the field, but it got him point instead of something negative happening in the end zone. That was by far the biggest thing. I mean, they had given up 51 points this year after turnovers, and you know, coming off a game when you give Iowa 24 basically for turnovers, to to flip that switch, not turn the ball over, and not give up any scores after a turnover, I think was all the difference.
Kevon Lee had 134 yards rushing in the game. What did you think of his patience and how he worked with his offensive line?
Both were pretty astonishing to me for a freshman, because I've seen freshmen, I'll even go back, like Saquon Barkley, as good as he was as a freshman, he had that tendency. I mean, maybe even that freshman running back tendency to try to go 75 yards in every play. And I didn't really get that from Kevon Lee. I saw him pause a couple of times. He did that, you know, that's the kind of thing that what Tony Hunt maybe used to do. And I thought, saw Miles Sanders do it a little bit. He paused. He waited for something to clear. He kind of ran behind Caden Wallace really well. That outside blocking, to give him that open lane on that, the wide side, bright, off in the short field, but that wide right side, he just kept taking it and taking it and taking it. And I looked out at one point, and he was over 100. And I was even a little bit surprised. I think it might have been the carry the 24-yard carry on that kind of ceiling drive that got him over 100. And I went, this is not that it was a quiet 100 yards, but it just felt like he wasn't getting. It wasn't like he had a 60-yard run and then he averaged, 1.8 over the next 18 carries. His yards came consistently, and I think that was really, really impressive for me to see out of him.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Tony Hunt. I see some of what you're talking about, because I remember the day Tony Hunt won the job. It was a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. It was where the lacrosse field is now. That was an old grass field. Mm-hmm. Joe decided to do a 3rd-and-1 and 3rd-and-2 scrimmage. That's all they did. And it was Austin Scott, and Tony Hunt were the two running backs. And it didn't take a genius to figure out after a 15 plays which guy was going to be the starter. I know exactly what you're talking about. When you look at Penn State's ability over the years, Deshaun Hamilton, Parker Washington, this is something I don't get. Penn State has had the ability in the slot to exploit Michigan repeatedly.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it looks like Michigan, I mean, it even goes back to Graham Zug. All right. When Joe was the coach.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Zug had 3 touchdowns and 2 first downs on 5 catches that day when Penn State won out there. What is it about that? I don't coach, so I can't figure it out.
Well, I was wondering, I think I even tweeted at some point, got to get Jahan Dotson maybe more involved, and maybe that was just it. Maybe Michigan was just leaning so heavily on him, and I did kind of watch. He did seem to be getting a little more man coverage. Maybe Sean was just looking and seeing, hey, you know, they're giving us Parker Washington. Let's take it.
Right.
Smart move on their part. And maybe that just goes back to the history. They're giving us Tayshaun Hamilton. They're giving us Graham Zug. You know, let's take that spot. You know, you take what an offense gives you. And we've heard Kurt Chiraka say that. And they were giving him. I think they were giving the cushion to Parker Washington. But also he was getting open. He was running. He seems to me to be a really advanced route runner for a freshman. Good steps, you know. It looks like he's, you know, if he's supposed to make a cut 6 yards down or 8 yards down or 11 yards, whatever it's supposed to be, he's cutting it there. He's hitting his routes in the right spots. And you can see that Sean trusts that he knows, oh, I'm supposed to throw a 10-yard route to him. He's going to be at 10 yards. That's his depth. He's not going to be at 12. He's not going to be at 8. I know that I'm going to be able to throw it to him there. And he catches the ball. He does everything fluid. I reminded, there's a little bit, maybe I'm seeing, of what Jahan Dotson did 2 years ago, too, that Jahan didn't make the kind of like astonishing plays he's made that he's made this year, but he was so reliable 2 years ago, which is something they absolutely needed with the injuries they had at receiver and having to move him outside and play alongside KJ Hamler. They needed that kind of player, and Parker Washington, because he is developing into that, and I think exponentially is going to go from there.
I've already amplified for the audience over the past few weeks with Penn State on short yardage where I felt they needed to be better. Well, on third and less than four in this game, Penn State was 5 of 7. So I want to flip it to the other side, though. Michigan on third and less than four was 2 of 7 and then 1 of 3 on fourth down. What did you see from the Penn State defense that just seemed a little different to you this time through?
It seems like maybe just getting into the gaps. You know, and not trying to go low on a tackle or arm tackle, getting into a gap, being physical, making a stop. After the game, Ellis Brooks was available, the linebacker who, with Shaka Toney, made that, you know, the fourth down stop. Right. Basically, that kind of sealed the game. And he said he noticed Joe Milton going from shotgun to under center. He felt it was going to be a sneak, and all he wanted to do was fill the gap. I think it's just even stuff as simple as that. Because sometimes the linebackers, and you saw it early, were just kind of out of plays on some of the bigger on the bigger runs. Especially Haskins' big run, they're not in their gaps, and that's something that's just very seemingly simple as that. You know, fill a gap, get a body in front of somebody's, you know, get a body in the way. And then, you know, Shaka Toney comes around and finishes it for you. But he got there. There was nowhere for Joe Milton to go on that spot, on that run. And that was another moment that you just kind of wait. Even though it was late, it was a 10-point. They were up by 10 after the illegal batting penalty, which now I've seen some people, you know, dispute. They go, okay, maybe this is the point that something, you know, bad things start to happen, because you just get into that mindset. A bad thing, something bad is going to happen, and that, you know, four down stop. I wrote about it Sunday. I'm sure I wasn't the only one. Reminded me a little bit, in a way, of 2004 against Indiana.
Yeah, it was I remember someone questioned me afterward. I said, I think this is a turning point. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And the same guy, to his credit, came out to me 4 years later and said, you were right. I gave him credit for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, finally got one right. I mean, you throw enough darts out there, one hits the board, I think. Penn State last year at Iowa, 17-12 lead, back-to-back first downs with Noah Cain, and the offensive line closed it. Michigan last year, Beaver Stadium. Michigan's trying to put heat on them. Penn State needs a first down. KJ Hamler, they get it and end the game. Saturday, there's 5:37 to go in the game, and Penn State gets the ball back after the aforementioned stop there. They never gave it up. What did that tell you? Never gave up the ball.
Man, a couple of those were Will Levis, weren't they?
Yeah.
Right, corrected. You know.
Yep.
That was, you know, you go back, heck, did it again, you know, in the Fiesta Bowl, is it the same thing too? And you hadn't seen that drive. Well, you hadn't been in the position to make that drive. this year, and that seemed to be in an offensive line in a position now where it's feeling good about itself. I think it's feeling stronger, a little more comfortable, maybe play more together, that it's going to be physical and aggressive and drive block and give the backs, you know, give Kevon Lee and give the quarterbacks time or time and space to run. I don't think they threw the ball on that last series either, if I'm remembering it correctly. I think it was an entirely rushing series. And that's the kind of, you know, the kind of thing, at, you know, you put away a defeated team at that point. Michigan certainly seemed like a defeated team at that point, but they had a couple of third downs. They could have made stops that didn't get to it. So, you know, as you said, never gave up the ball. That, to me, those two series, to finish with those two offensive series, if the fourth down stop is a turning point defensively for a defense that has struggled to get off the field, I think those two series, you know, to score and then to 4 minute yourself out of a game, maybe they're turning points for an offense that has moved the ball, but just has given it away just way too often.
So finally, I do have to ask you about the batted ball play, because Jack and I are watching it, and we feel like he batted the ball perpendicular or even slightly back. Okay, so it's a batted ball. So I just thought, and I'm normally pretty good on what the rules are, because you have to explain this during the course of the broadcast. I hadn't encountered this before. I thought they were going to, if Michigan was going to keep it, they were just going to spot it there. But when they assessed the 10-yard penalty and they got a first down, I looked at Jack and I said, okay, if you put every box of a team of what they could do wrong in a play, Michigan checked every one of them and got a first down.
The only thing is it's not a spot foul but it's a line of scrimmage foul. Am I understanding that correctly? This is one of those things that I think the officials interpreted the rule as I read it. And again, I am so not in any sort of an official. They interpreted the rule correctly as it was read or as it's written. I just wonder about the necessity of that rule. Maybe situationally, you're trying to keep people from batting a ball out of the end zone,
or batting it forward. I mean that.
Right, exactly.
Batting it forward's the big part because of the Raiders Chargers thing years ago.
Yeah, and Penn State, Ohio State. What in 18? Was it 18? There was a batted.
Yes.
What was that?
Yep.
And that was forward. I mean, there was no change of possession on that play that I remember, so there was no change of possession on this one. Right. That would just seem to be, I mean, what was his intent? What was Shaka Toney's intent? You can revisit the rule and address intent. Shaka Toney, all he was trying to do was keep that ball from going out of bounds. I mean,
right.
Clearly, he's not trying to advance the ball. So
right.
I guess in a literal reading of the rule, it was, I guess, correct. But maybe the rule needs to be, maybe the language of the rule or maybe some sort of interpretation of the rule needs to be contextualized a little bit, because there was just no, he was not trying to kick the ball downfield to give Jason Owe another 15 more yards in which to run.
So you're telling me the team that blew up the offensive line,
right?
The team that flushed the quarterback out, the team that stripped the ball from the quarterback, the team that hustled and kept the ball in play, and the other guy that hustled that picked it up got penalized 10 yards for all that hard work at a first down.
Yeah, and a loss of down, right?
You could laugh about it.
Because I guess if it would have been a spot foul, it still would have been fourth down.
It would have been fourth down.
Yeah.
It would have been fourth down at that spot. You can laugh about it, you know, from the Penn State perspective, because it didn't really matter in the outcome of the game. But I just thought it was – I hadn't encountered that. So in terms of the 10-yard penalty, like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that was the thing that I was really – because it was inexplicable to me the most. It was like, how did – as you just explained it, how did all this happen? Did they get a timeout back too? Is that going to happen?
Yeah. So one team does everything right, the other team does everything wrong, and the team that did everything wrong turns out right. All right. So, okay, I got it. Welcome to Ann Arbor. All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Always
my
a pleasure.
As always, Steve. Thanks
appreciate
again.
It, my friend. You bet.
Okay.